The Shame of Philadelphia Radio, the time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
9:06 in Philadelphia. Philadelphia weather. It is going to be 92 tomorrow and cloudy. Friday, it'll be 95, no clouds, Wildwood days. Saturday, 96 and partly cloudy. And Sunday, 97, partly cloudy. Monday, 50% chance of rain, high of 89. Friday is Rich Zeoli Day at Cape May, and that will be a lot of fun. Right now it is 79 and mostly cloudy in Philadelphia with Walter M. Sterling. Oh my God, look at this. It's Sterling every damn night. What's this, a live local show? Yes.
The most jingles, Sterling every night. The most jingles, Sterling every night. The most jingles.
Jingles for ratings, Sterling every night.
An honor to be with you. 855-839-1210. That's my phone number. I do this show for the privilege of talking to you on the phone. That's why I do the show. And I've had so much joy and thrills and pleasure from being on the radio and hearing you share your deep thoughts with me. I really am very grateful. 855-839-1210.
Loose skin and old balls? Gross.
Philadelphia declares a heat emergency. Here's the latest on the heat emergency, because, you know, the first rule of radio, when there's weather going on, talk about the weather. Here we go. Let's see. Philadelphia first heat emergency of the year will be in effect starting tomorrow. The emergency will begin at 8 in the morning Thursday and end at midnight on Saturday. But the emergency could be extended depending on the forecast. High temperatures are expected to continue through the weekend. Interim Health Commissioner Frank Franklin, oh, that poor guy, can you imagine having the name Frank Franklin, announced the emergency today in response to expected heat index maximums. The heat index is what, blah. According to the National Weather Service, the heat index values in our area are expected to range from 95 to 100 degrees from Wednesday through Saturday, with the hottest expected to be Friday, from Saturday morning to Sunday evening. Dangerously hot. 100 to 105 degrees will be the heat index in Philadelphia, in our area. And that begs the question, who is the idiot that you know that doesn't have an air conditioner? Or who doesn't turn on the air conditioner, which I view as even a bigger crime. Or who hasn't installed it just yet. You know it isn't summer. It's still sitting in the closet. Not your brother. The air conditioner. Why is the Pride Month? Why is the air conditioner still sitting in the closet? Why is the air conditioner not installed? Why has nobody put the air conditioner in the window and started it? I don't get it. For a whole $50, you can get a guy, a woman, to put it in. Yeah, the air conditioner. Don't get it. Again, how is it possible that there are 45% of the public schools in Philadelphia are not air conditioned? Every crappy bar in Kensington, no problem. Cool it. You want to get cold? Go to the worst bar you can find in Kensington. It will be ice cold. I guarantee it. It is a bizarre phenomena of America that every crappy bar, every bar where your feet stick to the floor, where you live in danger of walking outside, every one of those bars is ice cold. And yet there are classrooms in Philadelphia that are not air conditioned at all. And my favorite argument against that, the one that I will find you and take you out. If you say, well, when we were in school, it wasn't air conditioned. Yes, but you're near death. There's no reason for those rooms to not be air conditioned. Too many people have not internalized the evolution of technology. What? It evolves? Yes. Since Mr. Carrier invented the air conditioner, it has evolved. How's it evolved? It's much lighter. and you go to Walmart right now, you go to Walmart and you will find air conditioners for $150, 5,000 BTUs, 8.5 by 11 room, no problem. It'll cool that room. It'll cool your bedroom, no problem, for $150. And it's so light you can carry it. Now, are these going to last 25 years like the old carriers or the old fetters? No. These are, you know, Mr. Wong's air conditioners. But they will get you through this summer and next and next. I give it 3 summers, no problem. And remember, for God's sakes, it's weird. Clean the filter in the air conditioner. You will be stunned at how much cooler it works, how much better it is to remember to clean the filter in the air conditioner. They need to be cleaned every spring. Now, you see, the Sterling family is very odd, as you might guess. We have an air conditioner in every room of our home, and they run all year, mostly for white noise. But I pay attention to Dr. Oz, a preeminent scientist, and you know how well science has gone for us. A preeminent scientist says, you must cool your core. You must cool your core. You must cool your core. And when you cool your core, you can go to sleep. You and I will sleep better, according to Dr. Oz, if we cool our core.
Hey, www, somebody stop me, PhD. www, if you can top me, PhD. 2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50-kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling, 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 from sea to shining sea. This is www, somebody stop me, PhD.
Coming up, we'll hear a deep conversation with Ashley Benson, my favorite actress of all time. Ashley Benson will be sharing some of her deep thoughts that are specifically for me, as you will hear. And then there's that nonsense with Justin Timberlake. And oh my gosh, look at that. Nelly, freaking Nelly, got married 2 years ago. But didn't mention it to anybody. I'll have details on that in seconds. Coming up in just seconds, I will share with you my fantasy bride. My fantasy bride. The characteristics of a bride that I fantasize about in just seconds. Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night. Inspired by Frank Rizzo.
I was a cop all my life, and I know a lush when I see one, and you're a lush.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together.
What was that? I didn't hear any lesbians. I heard the Lovin' Spoonful? What the hell? Hey, do me a favor, Mr. Sound Engineer, get that out of the system. Delete that. That does not fulfill the promise to our millions and millions of listeners who demand actual lesbianism. It's a dilemma for sure. Yeah, well, I get obsessed with that song, and also, as you know, with this.
Fall into the gap now, get to the gap.
We got 4 tons of Levi's waiting for you.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
It's the world's greatest selection, it's true.
At the gap now, fall into the gap.
Whatever your shape, sex, or size,
we got your favorite Levi's jeans. gap, now shoot off the gap, gap, fall into the gap.
Now here is actual shocking news. I couldn't believe this. I'll tell you my ideal bride, my fantasy bride in a second. But I saw this moments ago and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You ready? I don't know if you can even handle this. Now, think about the day we've had. Think about the weather we've endured. Think about the fact that you and I haven't had a vacation in a very long time. A very long time. We're going from the second shift to the third shift. Maybe you're working two shifts today at Kellogg's, making frozen waffles. God, did I love that call, William. Oh, you're my favorite caller ever. 855-839-1210. I want you to vent and complain about the jackasses in your life who have not turned on the air conditioner. And how did you get it turned on? Jennifer Lopez escapes Ben Affleck divorce rumors. Jennifer had to escape not an actual divorce. She had to escape rumors. Let me repeat. Jennifer Lopez had to escape Ben Affleck divorce rumors on solo Italian yacht break. Jennifer Lopez escaped the ongoing rumors she will soon divorce husband Ben Affleck as she jetted to Italy this week for a break with friends without her husband. The actress, 54, flashed her toned abs and enviable legs as she donned a pastel yellow crop top paired with matching shorts for a relaxing yacht break in Sorrento. Oh, I'm so happy for Jennifer. J-Lo, who no one calls her J-Lo, wore her tresses sleek and straight, paired with chic shades and a sleek palette of makeup as she whiled away the afternoon in Sorrento. She booked her petite frame. She boosted her petite frame with heels as she chatted with her companions. The star looked in great spirits as she chilled thousands of miles away from Ben, who is 50. Well, let me tell you, doesn't she have kids? Where are the kids? Yeah, she has kids. Where are the kids? Whenever we see these Jennifer on a yacht, whenever we see celebrity on a yacht getting away, escaping, we never see the kids. She's escaping from rumors. There have been no divorce papers filed. It's just a rumor, but, you know, and you know how painful rumors can be. You know how painful the rumors are when people at work say, well, you know, Frank over there might get fired. Those are the rumors you and I have to put up with. We have to put up with actual rumors of we might get fired. One of the joys of media is that I will get fired. The day will come when I'll be fired. And unlike other industries, I won't think twice about it. I know it has nothing to do with me. But everybody on the air at any radio station at any given time will be fired, either for something brilliant that they say or something stupid that they say or budget cuts. You know, we have to manage our budgets or, you know, the ratings.
Jingles, the ratings, Sterling every night.
Jingles for ratings, ladies and gentlemen. From the great Harris Oven of great jingles. Oh, and there's Mark Simone. I had this really interesting chat with Mark Simone. Did I finish the Jennifer Lopez story? I can't believe she had to fly to Sorrento on a private yacht right now. Don't see any kids to escape the rumors. She wore a two-piece swimwear. Her toned legs, her toned abs, and her beautiful hair, the star. Have you ever thought of Jennifer Lopez as a star? I never have. I've thought of Ben Affleck as a star. He won an Academy Award. He's a world-class director. I think of him as a star. But Jennifer Lopez, I think, as a side hustle. That's my opinion. And all the people who went to school with her are like, shut up, Jennifer. Enough with this Jenny on the block. We never saw you on the block. We never saw you running up and down the block. You were never part of our world. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Look at that. It's 9:24 with Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling Every Damn Night. That's because Greg Stocker and I said, well, you know, what should we call it? And I said, what about Sterling Every Night? I love that. I love that. Sterling Every Damn Night. And then Stocker went home. That was it. But I respect him. I like him. Oh, my gosh, a program director I like. I am so happy. I'm so incredibly happy. Yes, that's the deal. I don't understand why she's considered to be a star. Makes no sense. My fantasy bride behaves in the following fashion. Are you ready? She never says, no problem. She never says, enjoy the evening as I'm leaving. No, those are all threats. Anytime a bride says any of those things, hey, it's fine with me, you're dead. You're just freaking dead. But my fantasy bride, when I start speaking, takes the Apple white earplugs out of her white ears, puts them down, takes them out, and looks at me and says, what's going on? How can I help you? Good idea. Terrific. And then when she's sure I'm done, puts the earplugs back in her ear rather than saying, are you done? Because she was, you know, paying very close attention to a very important Netflix show, you know, Bridezilla. What's that thing? Bridgerton that they're all watching. All these women are watching Bridgerton, Mr. Bridge. And so those earplugs stay in. And then her favorite line of communication, when I walk in the room and I want to say something to her, my fantasy is that she puts down the earphones, put down the earplugs, stops typing, whatever it is, and looks at me and says, hi, sweetie. Okay, that's never happened. Instead, what happens is, can you wait till the end of this episode? Wait till the end of my show. Wait till the end of my show. And I'll look at the screen. I'll look at the timer. And, we only have 28 minutes to go for this particular episode. And it's episode 3 of 12. Wait till the end of my show. And we're going to wait till the end of 3 of 12 for the next conversation to take place. And then, tell me if this doesn't happen. Then if I do something that she feels I should have reviewed with her before I did it, I'll get, well, why didn't you talk to me about this? Why didn't I know about this? Why didn't you talk to me about this? Hi, we were on episode number 3 of 12, and I had to wait till the end of the show. Therefore, I paid this bill, or they would have turned off the electricity. Well, you could have talked to me. No, when would I have talked to you? You were on episode 3 of 12 shows. You were in the mode of, if I have to stop this episode, it is the highest crime you could make me commit. That's the mode. Then, right when she does pause that episode, what happens? She gets on the phone with one of her little friends. And the little friend phone calls, how long do they last, gentlemen? Until dinner. And the 12-year-old needs dinner. And who makes the dinner? Oh, that would be me. I make the 12-year-old the dinner. Very busy with that. Then I have to prepare my show. What have we just done? We've eaten up the whole day. But God help us if we pause the Netflix series. We're not going to pause the Netflix series. We must stay up to date on that. But then the next day when I say, you know, why didn't you talk to me about this? Why didn't we talk about this? Every day, the hurdles to just talking to my wife increase. There's a particular peculiar courtesy in radio that if you walk in to a production room or a studio and a colleague has headphones on, the minute you walk in, reflexively, the person with the headphones on whips them off. Every time. That's what we do for each other. That's the courtesy we give. Because when I have my headphones on, I'm paying attention to what's coming out of the headphones. And everybody knows that. Therefore, when you walk in and you need to talk to me, it's damn important I take off my headphones. Why can't we get this from our brides? Why can't our brides take out the earplugs when we want to talk to them? Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night. inspired by Judge Judy.
What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
The list is so long. 1210 WPHT, Philadelphia, with Walter M. Sterling. Weather, oh my gosh, this is the day for the weather. Right now, it is 90 in Philadelphia. 1 second, I want to get the latest information for you. Hold on, be prepared. Here we go. Tomorrow, a high of 92 and cloudy. Friday, high of 95 and sunny, no clouds. Saturday, 96, partly sunny. Sunday, 97 and partly sunny. And on Monday, 40% chance of rain. That's right, on Monday, an 89. But there's a heat emergency. And this is an actual radio station, so I'm going to share it with you. The emergency will begin at 8 a.m. Thursday and end at midnight on Saturday. But the emergency could be extended depending on the forecast. High temperatures are expected to continue through the weekend. According to the National Weather Service, the heat index values in our area are expected to range from 95 to 100 degrees from Wednesday evening tonight through 6 a.m. Saturday, with the hottest day expected to be Friday. From Saturday morning to Sunday evening, dangerously hot, heat index values from 100 to 105. From 1210 WPHT with Walter M. Sterling. The only shocking thing about this, is that there are people you and I know who don't turn on their air conditioners. These people are known as mutants. These are mutants.
Hey, www, somebody stop me.
Now, I know that legendary broadcaster Mark Simone would never put up with a room that's too hot. He would never tolerate a friend who doesn't turn on the air conditioner. I have so much respect for Mark. He does 10 to noon at WOR Radio in New York City. And he did something the other day, yesterday, that was shocking and thrilling to me, which was he called me to basically just chat. Like, I've now entered the league, the cadre of fellow talk show hosts who just will call me to chat. I was thrilled that Mark would call me because he's been a talk show host in New York for 40 years. And one day, I suspect, will be in the National Radio Hall of Fame. Simone, S-A-S-T-S-I-S-I-S-T. We might be next to each other on the wall of the Radio Hall of Fame. And what I just said, when Mark hears that, it will frighten him. And he'll think, I don't know if I really want to be there. Because something similar happened to me. There was this guy, Bill Sauer. Bill Sauer, he was the president of a radio company, Mercury Radio, which owned New Jersey 101.5. And I had a lot to do with the success of New Jersey 101.5. That was a long time ago, but it was nevertheless. There's Bill Sauer. Now, Bill, after I consulted that station successfully for 19 years, decided I should be fired. Oh, my God, are you out of your mind? Like, here, this is the most brilliant thing I ever did with an insanely great group of people on the radio. Great group of people. And I consulted it for 19 years, and for most of that time, it was the most listened to FM talk station in the world. Hello, in the world. That should have been a sales one-sheeter. When I told the sales manager that, he goes, really? Where's the beer? Really? Yeah, really. Okay. He fires me. No, he didn't. He had one of his mutants fire me. Then we both went to Syracuse University, and now all over the university in the school we attended, engraved in the wall is the contributor's name. There's my name, right next to Bill Sauer's name. Every time I've had to go up there to be on their advisory board. And what's that? I'll tell you what that is. That's a damn good lunch. That's a really good lunch. And then to visit my beautiful daughter, Dorothy, who just graduated from the Newhouse School of Communications at Syracuse. Hire her soon. Please, somebody hire her soon. She's a wizard television producer. She should be at Fox 29. That's where she should be. Mike Jarrett should hire her immediately. And then Mike and I can bond. And one of my many fantasies can come true. No, stop it. It's not Pride Month. Stop it. It's to have Mike fill in, to have Mike guest, forgive me, have Mike guest star Sterling every damn night. That's my fantasy. But imagine, here's this guy who, for no reason, fired me. You know, budget cuts, really? Did my cut fix your budget? No, I know too much. No, I know it didn't. But there I am, engraved on a wall with his name forever at Syracuse University. Every time I look for my name, and then I'm like, it's next to his name. It's like cooties. I have donation cooties. Nelly got married.
Love you.
Secretly. Nelly secretly got married.
She just moved right up the back for me. And she got the hots for me, the finest thing I've ever seen. But oh no, no, she got a man and a son though. Oh, when that's okay, cause I wait for my cue and just listen. Play my position like a show star. Pick up Thursday, my
every night.
I have an email address that I actually look at and answer. It's waltermsterling@gmail, waltermsterling@gmail. And you might be thinking, well, why does Dom Giordano have one that ends in Odyssey? Or Rich Zeoli have one that ends in Odyssey? Or Jarrell and Greg Stocker and Don Senslin all have ones that end in Odyssey, but mine does not. I don't know, because I don't care. The reason I don't care, I used to care about stuff like that, but the people at Odyssey gave me the greatest perk I have ever had. Yes, besides the wall of free tasty cakes, besides that, besides the insanely beautiful break rooms and fine dining available throughout the Odyssey facility, and a world-class sound engineer that I get to work with. Andrew, look at you, Andrew. Aren't you excited to finally be on a show that doesn't scream at the Democrats? Oh my gosh, it's an honor. No, I get a parking pass. In Center City, I park for free in a garage. This is the first perk I've ever had in my life that I value. Now, what other perks have there been? I was a deal at ABC and NBC. What did they give us? What were our perks at NBC and ABC? I'll tell you. Ever wonder what they get? Those people get? I had a office and a B office, depending on the company. An A office had a real wood top desk. The top of the desk was actually wood. The B and C offices, it was wood veneer. And they were nice desks, but they weren't like the A offices, which had real wood desk and a marble sides. That was the big perk at ABC. The big perk at NBC I didn't get, so I gave it to myself. I'll tell you what that was in a second. It was a great perk, but I didn't get it, so I had to give it to myself. All right, what have we got here? Oh, I want to talk to you. Yes, perks at work. I'd like to know what perk they gave you that you value or that you wish to hell they gave you and they gave to the other person. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. This is a live radio show. It's a live radio show on a hot night, baby. A hot night, baby. 945 1210 WPHT.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Jumo on TikTok.
Let's make a pizza.
You will thank me. Molinari Pizza at the Jersey Shore. Molinari Pizza. J-U-M-O on TikTok. Go to TikTok. Search J-U-M-O. Watch the video. You can watch it with people around. Nothing to be embarrassed about. You can watch it at work. But you will thank me. You will say Walter Sterling has actually provided a community service, something we haven't expected or heard from the radio in a very long time. J-U-M-O on TikTok. You will thank me.
Hey, www, somebody stop me, PhD. www, if you could top me, PhD. 2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50 kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling, 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 from sea to shining sea. This is www, somebody stop me, PhD.
Aviva Vegas, Dave Scott, and you. 855-839-1210. Aviva Vegas will give us an update on many TikTok things and other important information, including nude sushi eating. What? Nude sushi eating. That's with Aviva Vegas coming up. Very exciting. 9:50 at 1210 WPHT. I will keep you up to date on the weather. If there are any changes in the weather, there is a weather emergency in our area starting tomorrow morning, and it'll be running through Saturday. They're expecting the heat index to be at 100 to 105. Now, there's a reason for this, and it's very important that you grab onto the reason the way you grab onto that woman who's not your wife. You ready? This is what they discovered about the reason for this heat wave. It's summer. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's summer. That is the reason for the heat wave. I know it's a revelation, but...
Well, it's very difficult for anybody to be against it because the media has told the nation over and over again, day after day, for 20 years, that the oceans are rising, the polar bears are dying, the sea, the ice is melting, that storms are going to sweep the earth, and that we're all going to die of a heat wave. I mean, this is an incredible, bad, bad science. Well, there are 9,000 PhDs and 31 scientists who have signed a petition that says it is not a significant greenhouse gas. Oh, it's a teeny, itsy bitsy greenhouse gas, but it's not in any way significant.
I don't understand how any human being in this weather will not turn on the air conditioning. There are three types of air conditioner criminals. There are people who do not buy air conditioners, don't have any. They have some wacky notion in their head that it is healthier to live without an air conditioner. Not true. It's a burden on your heart, this heat. It's a burden on your diabetes. Your diabetes is going to spike because of the heat, because our bodies are less efficient when they're dealing with this heat. And it hurts your sleeping. We need to have a cool core. Dr. Oz says we need a cool core. You need an air conditioner. I've explained this a couple times now. If you don't have an air conditioner, I want you to explain. I'd like to know why you're a mutant and you don't have an air conditioner. That's a crime. A much worse crime is having an air conditioner and not turning it on. What are you thinking? Oh, you know, it isn't, you know, I can tolerate it. Why? You have one life to live, CBS soap opera in the 60s. You have one life to live. Why would you squander your life sitting there thinking, well, if I pull all the drapes, all the curtains, all the shades, and turn on this very tiny fan, I'll be cool enough. No, you won't be cool at all in any way. Therefore, turn on the air conditioner. The third crime is, if I'm in your house, if I'm in your business, and you don't turn on the air conditioner, that's a double crime. You have been incredibly rude because I'm there. I don't care about those other people. If I'm in your house, two things, three things. I'm not going to hold your baby. Two, I do not like your dog. Don't say, oh, the dog likes you when it jumps up on me. Don't say, oh, the dog likes you. No, no, what matters is, do I like the dog? Answer, no. And turn on the air conditioner. Simple manners, common sense. And say, do you want anything to eat? It would also be good if I'm in your house to throw in, do you want anything to eat? Right, Neil Paul? That's what we should do. Judy Anderson, Judy Paul, welcome. Midnight Misfits, where is Stuart and where is Karen with the cats? I miss Karen with the cats. I hope she's okay. I'm worried about that. There's Charlie Green and his handsome son who just got out of college. Congratulations to you, sir. Rosemary Furlong and her mom, welcome. And the Datz family. We had a nice rapport with the Datz family, and then they disappeared. But I would enjoy hearing from any member of the Datz family that's willing to admit that they're a member of the Datz family. Because these are my Midnight Misfits. And if you'd like to be a Midnight Misfit, it would be useful to get the decoder card. I will be giving you secret messages shortly. The decoder card. And we will even use very special music to identify it's time for the decoder card. You'll find out what that is soon. But we'll be using that special music when I give the decoder card message, the secret message, the characters that will form a message just for you, but you have to be able to decode it. There's no other radio show quite like this. Dom Giordano Day in Wildwood on Friday. That looks spectacular. I hope you get to participate. If you go to the 1210 WPHT website, you can learn all about Dom Giordano Day. And then this morning show is hot as hell. This is a great morning show on 1210 WPHT. Tomorrow morning, Jor-El, Superman's father, Dawn Senslin, a woman who has never introduced herself to me, refuses to speak to me. She thinks I'm beneath her. Or she thinks, well, let's give him a couple years. If he's still here, I'll talk to him. And the great Greg Stocker, who also suffers from being the program director and has corporate duties. Oh, forgive me, the brand manager. What is this, Procter & Gamble? Brand? No, we make shows. We make programs. This is radio. Here, I'll prove it to you.
Jingles for ratings, Sterling every night.
That's what we do.
Hey, www, somebody stop me.
Aviva Vegas will be giving us a special report from Vegas later tonight. Dave Scott, our ufologist and metaphysicist, another special report, and the astonishing decision by the state of Pennsylvania, the city of Philadelphia, to salute 9/11 the right way. That's coming up tonight. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling every damn night on 1210 WPHT, and I want to talk to you. Number 855-839-1210.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio. The time filler on WPHT. Yes, live Sterling every damn night.
All right, it's 10:03 in Philadelphia. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. We have a weather emergency, a heat emergency. The emergency will begin at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning and end at midnight on Saturday, but the emergency could be extended depending on the forecast. High temperatures are expected to continue through the weekend. According to the National Weather Service, the heat index values in our area are expected to range from 95 to 100 degrees Wednesday evening through 6 a.m. on Saturday, with the hottest expected on Friday. Saturday morning to Sunday evening, dangerously hot. Heat index values 100 to 105 from 1210 WPHT. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Oh, my gosh. What is it? Lesbians are... Play it.
Strippers on the loose. We're live, but we're not local. you're a father and you don't have custody of your kids. Your kids are enjoying a wonderful Father's Day with their stepdad or with your ex's father instead of you. What's a nice man supposed to do on a day like this? Feeling a little low? Needing to have your spirits lifted? Happy Father's Day! One of the great Father's Day celebrations at a strip club is in the Philadelphia area. It's called Delilah's Gentlemen's Club and Steakhouse. Their steak's awesome. Almost New York City type level. Good. They also have drink specials. And if you can prove you're a father, you get a special time in the champagne room to encourage you and make you feel better. This Father's Day, don't be alone. Be with other guys just like you, being entertained by showgirls who understand how to bring a quick smile to your skull. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
Sue, welcome to 1210 WPHT at 855-839-1210.
I don't know how you follow that, Walter, but anyway.
I expect, Sue, for you to step up to it and perform.
And you know I will. And
I know
and
you
I'm
will,
right with
so
I'm right there with you on the air conditioning. I am married to a mutant. He thinks that he wants to just be acclimated to the heat. That's crazy. I feel like if I earn the money I earned in my life, if that doesn't buy me physical comfort, then there's no other reason to be working. You know, you got to have physical comfort to start with.
Why would anybody be so arrogant as to imagine they could acclimate to 100-degree heat? I don't get it. What are you saying to your alleged husband? How are you dealing with him?
Well, I mean, I have the air on. I've got to be comfortable. If he wants to be hot, he can go outside.
Do you have central air or units in each room?
Oh, I have central air, baby.
Yes.
And I replaced that entire system a few years ago. It was big bucks. But you know what? I got to be comfortable. That's bare minimum. Got to be comfortable. If I don't buy myself any other thing in my life, if I don't go on trips, if I don't do anything else, if I don't have a new car every 3 years, I'm at least going to be physically comfortable. That's where I'm coming from.
We rent the strangest air-conditioned house. Ready for this? It has central air on the first floor, not the second. Who forgot that lesson from third grade physics about heat rising? So the first floor is air-conditioned. The second floor, we have a window unit in each room, but it's not centrally air-conditioned on the second floor. That's wacky thinking, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know, when I was growing up in Parma, we didn't have any air-conditioning in the house. I spent the entire summer in the basement, sitting on top of the washing machine, which was cool because it was metal. And I would just stay down there the whole summer because I couldn't stand the heat.
Well, I've been a guest in somebody's more than one person's house where there was no air conditioning or I wasn't allowed to turn it on. And at 2 in the morning, suffering, I went outside to the street to sit in my car for an hour to cool down. What kind of host is that? That's called a lousy host. That's called a mutant host. A mutant host.
I agree. And I told you before, if they're related to your wife, it's her job to advocate for you, to intervene for you. But
I don't know. You know, I don't know if she can. I don't know if she can. These people are from Appalachia.
Oh, well.
All right, Sue. You're the best. Thank you very much for calling 1210 WPHT at 855-839-1210. What do you say to the mutant who doesn't turn on their air conditioning? What do you say to the mutant who, in 2024, refuses to buy a window air conditioner? What do you say to them? There's no page in the Emily Post book on how to deal with mutants who don't air condition in 100-degree heat. And again, my standard for air conditioning, is the worst bar in Kensington, the worst bar, the bar that would scare gang members to go into, that's 40 degrees right now. The worse the bar, the better the air conditioning. The bar that doesn't actually have any seats anywhere, not even over there, no seats. And your feet stick to the floor, and it's a little too bright, and a lot of vinyl, and a lot of linoleum. Do you know that there was a parent in the New York City public school system that named her daughter Linoleum? And she named her Linoleum because she thought that was a French word. She thought it was French. But if the worst bar in Kensington can be ice, your house in Newtown, Ben Salem, Plymouth Meeting can also be ice. It's possible. And right now, even at 1010 WINS, you could go to a Walmart right now, open right now, buy that $150 air conditioner, and be a hero to all of the people who suffer in your home, who don't have the guts, who don't have the balls to say it to you. They don't have the nerve to say it to you.
Loose skin and old balls, gross.
1210 WPHT. Now, Pennsylvania schools are now going to be required. This is not a suggestion. They're now going to be required to hold a moment of silence on the anniversary of 9/11 terror attacks. Pennsylvania schools will now be required to hold a moment of silence on the anniversary of the terror attacks of September 11th. And they have to, they also have the option to teach their students more about the devastating day that profoundly shaped American life. Governor Josh Shapiro signed a bill yesterday that instructs Pennsylvania Department of Education to mandate the moment of silence and identify a model curriculum for teaching students about the significance of 9/11. Okay, good and bad. I was in Manhattan on September 11th, and this was before we had kids. And my biggest concern after the horror of what I witnessed and the death of two of my friends, including Captain Patrick Brown of the New York City Fire Department, who ran into the buildings. Captain Brown ran into the buildings. And Jim Paul, who worked in the building on, I think it was like the 98th floor, and he helped women get out, and then he died. My biggest concern from that point on was, well, wait a minute. Pearl Harbor, when I learned about Pearl Harbor starting World War II, well, that was over there. That was separated by an ocean. I felt safe, even as a 10, 11-year-old kid, when I learned about it, I felt safe because that was over there. Horrible, but, you know. But this, September 11th, Shanksville, Manhattan, the Pentagon, 9/11, I could walk to that. I could walk to the World Trade Center from my home in Manhattan. I could walk there. Mike Jerrick was working in Manhattan at that time as well. I could walk there, and I thought, how am I going to tell my kids? How will I ever be able to give them a sense of safety? Because we could walk to the World Trade Center, and now we could walk to the World Trade Center Memorial. This was not abstract. It was not over there. It was a horror that all they had to do was look out the window and see where it happened. And then I thought, how are the schools going to deal with this? When my kid gets to be 11, 12, and they're going to public schools, how are they going to deal with it? How is that going to work? Well, the way it worked in New York City, what they did is the public schools let us know when they were going to bring it up in the classrooms. And you could choose to keep your kid home that day, or you could prep them and tell them this is going to happen. But the biggest thing, and this is what my current wife said, she said, well, yeah, it happened over there, but this you can walk to. But the other part of it is that it's not going to happen again. And that's how we told our kids. This is never going to happen again. Finally, you know, the successors of Dick Cheney will actually do their job, and the jets will actually be scrambled, and it will never happen again. I am happy, however, that this is important enough to this day that there will be a moment of silence for the Jim Pauls and the Captain Browns. I am proud of the state of Philadelphia for being the only state to say the public schools are going to give it a moment of silence and respect. I can't believe all the people who I have to listen to every year when the memorial service and the reading of the names is put on TV, who complain, oh, is this again? Are we going to have go through this every year? Yeah, you're damn right you're going to have to go through it every year because we can't forget this one. And Mr. President, whoever that is, you can do whatever you want to retaliate against the people who killed Captain Patrick Brown and Jim Paul at the World Trade Center on September 11th. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Kate Martin.
How I eat my popcorn as possible, and so we responded really well. I just made popcorn, and our support staff got stops.
I love popcorn so much.
Okay, so probably, I mean,
only box outs.
A crazy coincidence here, because if I'm pretty and you're cute, I think that means that we could be pretty cute together.
Now I'd like you to see if you can find what these schools, these public schools, have in common. Listen carefully at 1020 on 1210 WPHT with Walter M. Sterling. Sterling, every damn night. Let's see if you can find the common traits of these schools. Upper Darby High School. The Lancaster McCaskey High School. McKeesport Area High School. Frankfort High School in Philadelphia. LaSalle College in Philadelphia, Northeast High School in Philadelphia. Let's see if you can find the common traits. Radnor High School, Wilkes-Barre Elmer L. Myers High School. In Allentown, the William Allen High School. Bethlehem, the Liberty High School. Butler, Butler Junior High. Clareton High School, Drexel Hill, Upper Darby, Erie, Pennsylvania, Cathedral Prep High School, East High School, Folsom, Ridley High School, Lancaster, McCaskey High School. What do those schools have in common? Do you know what they have in common? I want you to think about it. I'm sure they're not air conditioned, but that's not what I'm thinking about. What do they have in common? I'm going to tell you a story that you will not believe, but every single word is true. Pay attention. Every word is true. One summer, my parents decided to send me to camp. Now, I went to two different camps. I went to Boy Scout camp. That's not what this story is about. There are plenty of stories from Boy Scout camp. But this one, there was a private school near our home in Joyce called Pingree. And Pingree School was a very nice school. It's a private school, and they offered summer camp to any kid, whether you were there during the school year or not, whether you were in public school, they didn't care. They just took your money, could go to school there, private school there for a week or two and learn private school things. Tennis, really nice gym, everything a little notch better than the public schools, right? A little notch better. Well, here's the thing. When I was given the tour of the school, we were shown the locker rooms, and then we were shown the gym, and then we went through the gym and went through another door, and there was the swimming pool. Locker room, gym, swimming pool. That's what my young brain saw and mapped out okay, now I enroll in the school, very excited. And what I did, what they had, and this is the part you won't believe, at that private school, the boys went swimming naked. Whatever year you were in, from kindergarten to 12-year-old, you swam naked if you were a boy. And remember, I went from the locker room to the gym to the swimming pool. When I started camp, it was time to go swimming. I went to the locker room, took off all my clothes. And then how did I get into the swimming pool? Oh, yeah, I remember I walked through the gym and then got to the swimming pool. Okay, well, now the gym's full. When we took the tour, the gym was not full. And, oh, by the way, I'm not wearing any clothes. I walked through the gym with no clothes on, through the gym to the door, from the gym to the swimming pool. That's how I thought I was supposed to go. And, yeah, I was pretty embarrassed. But then I thought, well, every other kid had to do that. Every other kid did that. And then the next day, I did it again. And the next day, I did it again. And finally, somebody said, why are you, don't you know how to get from the locker room to the pool? And I didn't. I didn't know how to get from the locker room to the pool without going through the gym. That's how embarrassing and stupid I was. Now, then I knew to go into the pool from the locker room, not through the gym. Actually happened. Horrible. But wait, what do you mean you swam naked? All of the schools that I just shared with you all had naked swimming for the boys. 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, the boys swam naked in those pools. Also true at YMCAs until about 1975. Throughout America, throughout Pennsylvania, throughout New Jersey, every public school, every YMCA, the boys swam naked. Why was this? Here's where it gets suspicious. And here's where I go, whoa, 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 whoa. The answer should have been the same at every school. They all should have had the same answer. They didn't. Some schools said, well, then you won't have to have a wet swim trunk in your locker. Now, you know, there are many ways to deal with the wet swimsuit other than have it sit at the bottom of the locker. Many ways. They could have wringers and plastic bags, and you take them home. Many ways to deal with this. Or they didn't want to spend the money. Or, and this was what many of them said, including the one at my high school, they said the reason that boys swim naked in the high school gym pool, is because of the filtration system. You know, the filtration system. Oh, well, then the same should be true for women, right? Oh, no, 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 no. Girls had swimsuits. What? Girls had swimsuits. Boys did not. At no time was I buying any of these stories. But this was true throughout America. It was true throughout Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, New Jersey. Every public pool, school, boys swam naked. And no explanation has ever been satisfactory to me. And then what's even weirder, because it ended in 1975 or so, nobody believes me. I tell this story to my kids, to other people, and they're like, no, it can't be. That couldn't have been. But this is right. This was true. And this was traumatic. This was a lousy thing to do. There was, in fact, no reason for it. There was no filtration system problem. Oh, gee, were there photographs taken? Were they put in the yearbook? Yes, they were. The only time it didn't apply was when there were inter-school competitions, water polo competitions and stuff. Then, gosh darn it, the young men could put on their swimsuits. This was traumatic for me. And I suspect 99.9% of the other young men who were going through puberty and the pain of embarrassment. And then for me, it was even worse because I hated swimming. You know, I could swim, but I didn't like it. And to this day, I can't dive. The requirement for graduation at my high school was I had to be able to dive into the pool and swim across the pool. That was part of the requirements for graduation. I never could dive. There was no way my head was going in first. Mental block. The gym teachers, because they had to see that I could dive and swim to graduate me, they looked the other way. They knew it wasn't going to go well. I jumped in. I swam across. That's all you're going to get out of me. I spent my junior and senior year bribing my mother to write notes to get me out of swimming. A tradition in my family that we have continued for my daughters. I write excellent notes to get them out of swimming because I can't think of anything more worthless and stupid and disruptive in the day than at 10:30 in the morning. You're all dressed up for school, and now you have to all undress, change, go swim for a half hour, soak up the chlorine, in your hair, and suffer. Some things are just stupid. But yes, in fact, we had to swim naked in the YMCA and public schools, didn't we? Here's my number, 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. That's my phone number. We can talk about swimming naked. Prove that I am right. This actually happened at every public school in our area. The boys had to swim naked in the pool in the school. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by the Osborne family.
Do you know what it means when someone says based?
Bitch.
No, based.
Bait.
B-A-S-E-D. Based.
Based.
Yeah.
That means cocaine.
Mum, what do you think it means?
I have got no idea.
Okay. It's person or opinion is one that is confident, free-thinking, and not influenced by the opinion of others. For example, I am based.
1210 WPHT weather. Look at this, an emergency, a heat emergency begins tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on Thursday, and it will end midnight on Saturday. But the emergency could be extended depending on the forecast. High temperatures are expected to continue through the weekend. According to the National Weather Service, the heat index values in the area are expected to range from 95 to 100 degrees Wednesday evening through 6 a.m. Saturday, with the hottest expected to be on Friday from Saturday morning to Sunday evening. Dangerously hot heat index values could be from 100 to 100. And 5 degrees, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. That is my phone number. And it's okay to admit the embarrassment and hell that you and I went through as students in public schools in the Philadelphia area, where we had to go to the public, to the swimming pool in the building naked. Yes, that's right. The reason I say this is because people don't believe me. They don't believe the old abuses that we went through. You know, whenever you hear about abuse of children and how terrible it used to be, you hear about spanking, you hear about beatings. All of that was horrible, I'm sure. But it was just as horrible to, at 11 in the morning at public school, when you're suffering every conceivable humiliation just by going to school. All known humiliations are dumped upon us at school. Going in and dreading, oh, there's Chuck Sapp. He's going to make fun of me again. And there's the quarterback who's going to pass me in the hallway and just shove me against the lockers for the hell of it. No particular reason. And then whenever I'd have to go to gym, which was rare, as I got better and better, as convincing my mother that she really needed to write me an excuse, a gym excuse, which she did. She did. And I've continued the tradition in our family of writing gym excuses for our kids. No problem, kid. You don't want to go to gym? No problem. The reason that so many people in America are fat is not preservatives. The reason so many people in America are fat is that once I got out of gym, I never wanted to go into gym again. That the trauma of going to phys ed in school every couple days, 3 days a week, it was such a horrible day for me that I dreaded it so much that I certainly was not going to sign up for, Mr. Jim as an adult, because everything that I experienced in phys ed in school was just beyond horrendous. For example, they actually wanted me to climb the rope. Like, what? Yes, there's the rope. They wanted me to climb the rope. No, I'm not going to climb the rope. There were two kids out of 50 who could get to the top, right? There were like two guys who could do that. Nobody else could do that. It was an insanely dumb, meaningless, insulting, embarrassing thing for us to all have to do. I will never understand it. Really, I'll never. I'm just thinking back about the high bar and the cat's cradle and the parallel bars. Oh my gosh, it was all just horrible. My phone number is 855-839-1210. Tell them, did you have to swim naked in your school pool? Did you have to do that? Because today I'll tell people this and they don't believe me. What do you mean? You really did? Yeah, we really did. Well, why? Well, they said it had something to do with the filtration system. There was a problem that boys couldn't wear swimsuits because the filtration system.
We're guys. We keep a little dirt under my pillow for the bird man. In case he comes to town.
What?
Keep a little dirt under my pillow for the bird man. So he
Where he talks about 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Bob, welcome to Sterling every damn night.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
I happened to catch you tonight for the second time.
How's that going for you?
All right, and you're talking to a guy that's 81 years old.
Oh my God. I was a
phys ed teacher for 35 years. You're absolutely right about what you're saying about swimming nude. In fact, I'm from North Jersey, and the YMCAs and the YWCAs, the women swam nude. And they had different nights to swim on. And, of course, as guys, we tried to sneak in when they had their nights. In high school, we swam twice a year in North Jersey to be tested. And everyone would line up. We'd be nude in a straight line. They'd walk us in. We'd go in the water, do our testing, come out, and then after every phys ed class, we had to get nude, line up in the locker room, stand in a straight line while the gym teachers turned the hot water on, and you just went through the entire shower, got drained off, and off you went back to class.
I got to ask you, Jim, which high school was it?
North Jersey? It was a Kearney High.
Kearney High. All right. What did they tell you was the reason that the boys
had to
swim?
We didn't get any reason. We just went.
Never asked?
No.
Okay.
Didn't care. We just wanted to get it over with.
Exactly. We just wanted to get it over with. What a tragic waste of our time and our pride to put us through that day after day after day. When I asked at Columbia High School, when I asked, why are we doing this? The answer I got was, the swimsuits will mess with the filtration system. And even in 10th grade, I knew that was BS. I knew that couldn't possibly be true.
Well, down here in this area, I was an aquatics director for 20 years. And I remember when I came back from Vietnam, I went up to this one school and got the job as the aquatics person. But they wanted someone from out of the military because the two guys before me were bedding down the senior girls in the pool.
Of course they were.
Oh, and my first question on the when I was interviewed for the job was, are you a eunuch? I said, why are you asking that question? They said, you know what's been going on around here.
So they wanted a guy who would behave and be a professional like you. I am really glad you listen to my show. Thank you for calling my show. Thank you for listening to Sterling every damn night at 1043. Tony, Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Mr. Sterling. It's an honor to talk to you.
An honor to speak to you, sir.
Unfortunately, Mr. Sterling, my conversation's a little off topic for the moment. Could I please continue?
I will judge as you go along.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Sterling, last night I listened to you talk to a gentleman about UFOs.
Dave Scott, who will be with us at 11 o'clock tonight.
Okay. Well, I have an interesting story. A few years ago, early 2000s, I was working a second shift at a hospital. So it's a foggy night, and I'm driving home, and up comes a sports car, you know. So the sports car is right on my tail, and they got their high fog beams on, you know. So they blind me, and I'm still continuing trying to drive. You know how annoying that is, right?
Right.
So I get home, I'm aggravated, and on comes this TV show, the History Channel. It was called Ancient Aliens.
Yes.
So I'm watching this show, and I'm looking at all these pictures of these aliens, and something struck me wildly about all most of the alien depictions was the eyes. The eyes are big and oval shaped and usually right. black.
Right.
So the first thing that came to my mind was, well, that would mean either they would be light sensitive or they would have extremely very good vision. So what I started to do was I went out where my parents live on a way out in the sticks, you know, and I started to use a high powered flashlight to shoot up in the sky at night, because I had also heard that these most interactions with aliens happened during the nighttime. So as I was paying attention to air traffic, I would notice most of the flying airplanes and jets and whatnot would flash red and blue color strobes. But once I started to fix my eyes on a planet, a single solitary star, I would watch the movement around the stars themselves. And I started noticing like zigzagging kind of weaving orange lit objects above the star line. And so I would flash them. And after a while, they started flashing back. Or they would go into these wild, like, formation patterns. And on more than one occasion, more showed up, you know. I never got that Close Encounters of the Third Kind moment where a craft came down.
Well, how did it make you
them.
Feel? How did this make you feel? Were you scared?
No. I'm a longtime student of another radio show, if I may drop the name.
No, don't want to hear about it. Thank you very much for calling, though. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the story. Thank you.
Hey, www, somebody stop me, PhD. www, if you could top me, PhD. 2400 Market Street, 1210 on your dial. That powerful, powerful station with the 50 kilowatt smile. Yeah, Sterling, 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 from sea to shining sea. This is www, somebody stop me, PhD.
I bet Tony was going to mention George Norris, wasn't he? Stopped him too soon. I bet she was going to mention George Norrie. And George Norrie will be on tonight at 1 a.m. on 1210 WPHT. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Frank Rizzo.
Put that on camera. You're a creep.
Sterling Every Night, the cop bar is alive. Talking jive. Bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective.
Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk a little bit about police equipment. So when I was in the police academy, about a week in, they took us to the police equipment section, which is in the bowels of One Police Plaza. And the police equipment section is usually run by civilian employees and NYPD cops that have been in trouble for one reason or another. So no one's really happy when you get there. And when the rookies get there, it's almost like going to prison or the military for your first day. You're ordered around, you're given a brown paper bag, and guys are just shoving stuff in there. And you had to write them a check. I think if it was like $1,200, I had to borrow money off my parents, which they were shocked because they were like, you have a job and now you're borrowing money for us to become a cop. And that's not even including the gun, and I'll get to that in another story. So with some of the equipment you get is a nightstick, a rubber billy, which that gets thrown out in the garbage, a whistle. And you think these things are ridiculous until you hit an NYPD precinct. And then as the new guy, they're constantly inspecting you. Once you get to the precinct, you stand in roll call. And depending on the supervisor, they're going to check for things. They're going to see if you have your whistle, your rubber billy, the inserts in your memo book with phone numbers to different city agencies in case someone has a problem with something. But the one thing that they always stress upon is the flashlight. And a lot of guys, this is before the little pen lights with 10 million candlewatts of power. In the old days, on the midnights, the guys would carry like the 8-cell mag lights or the 4-cell mag lights. And a lot of guys, the bigger the mag light, the louder the mouth. Well, when I first got to my South Bronx precinct, I remember there was this old-time cop there, and every now and then the other old-timers would tease him and go, you got a light? You bring your flashlight, you got a light? And I really didn't understand why they were breaking this guy's chops until one day I was working with him and he told me the story. He said a couple of years earlier, he turned out for roll call and he didn't have his flashlight. And the sergeant says, where's your flashlight? He goes, oh, I'll go get it. And he never went and got it. So later that day, he got called out on a burglary call and he chased a suspect into an abandoned building. He says, so he's in this abandoned building. It's pitch black. He can't see anything, but he was a smoker. So he reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a lighter and he flicks it. Well, when he flicks the lighter in this pitch black abandoned building, the perp, the guy that he's been chasing, is inches from his face. And the guy scared the hell out of him. And what does the bad guy do? He blows the light out. The cop panics and squeezes his gun, which was in his other hand, and shoots the guy in the stomach. Well, P.S., the perp survives, but the cop gets the nickname of Bic. So that's why I couldn't figure out what he kept asking if he had a light. And then I started calling the guy Bic. So you never know in the NYPD when it comes to equipment. So for more interesting NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Laughing in the Line of Duty.
Sterling, every damn night, 10:55 in Philadelphia. It's hot as hell. I hope you've turned on your air conditioner. If not, you're a mutant. Are you a mutant who refuses to get an air conditioner? Refuses to turn one on? It's not the 50s. You don't have to go to two guys from Harrison to get an 800-pound air conditioner for $800 and four guys to carry it up the back stairs. You can get it for $150 at Walmart right now. You can carry it yourself right now, and you can install it yourself right now. And what will that make you? A hero among your fellow sufferers. There is just no excuse. And I care about your health because I need every damn listener, because the ratings came out and we were beaten by the Newtown Radio Control garage door openers and the Ben Salem radio police calls. Therefore, I need every single listener available at 10:56 on 1210 WPHT. You and I are talking about schools and about the horror of boys in high school and junior high having to swim in the pools naked. No, really, that happened. And the YMCA naked. Did the girls have to swim naked? No. But the boys did. And then they communally showered and were hosed down by a gym teacher with a hot water hose naked. What the hell was this about? What was this about? No explanation. And photographs were taken. And they were put in high school and junior high school yearbooks. What? Like, what? No, really. It may be therapeutic for you to discuss this and share this. It's been therapeutic for me to share this with you because it's one of those things in my childhood that I absolutely hard brick wall blocked. I don't think about it. And I used to use every ounce of charm to convince my mother to write me excuse notes from Jim. We've got Dave Scott coming up with UFO news in just seconds, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Now, the shame of Philadelphia radio, the time filler on WPHT, yes, live Sterling Every Damn Night.
All right, we're going to have Aviva Vegas coming up in seconds to talk about the nude sushi restaurant, plus more. And Dave Scott, in just seconds, UFO news. Now, 1210 WPHT weather for Philadelphia and the Lehigh Valley. We have a heat emergency. The emergency will begin at 8 tomorrow morning and end at midnight on Saturday. But the emergency could be extended depending on the forecast. High temperatures are expected to continue through the weekend. According to the National Weather Service, the heat index values in our area are expected to range from 95 to 100 degrees from Wednesday evening through 6 a.m. Saturday, with the hottest day going to be Friday, which is the day you will play hooky and head to Wildwood for Dom Giordano Day. That's Friday. Right now it is 70 and clear in Center City. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is a brand new show. Can you believe it? Finally, a new show. And now, oh my God, we have Dave Scott.
Sterling Every Night, lost in space, mission control, Dave Scott.
The brilliant Dave Scott, metaphysicist, ufologist, so many titles, Dave. Do you have news for us tonight, Dave, on Sterling Every Night?
Well, I do, because there is a great debate happening on Walt in the UFO world that is really starting to pick up some steam with some of these, what we call grifters in the UFO world, who are, you know, trying to make a buck off of this field. And look, I have no problem with anybody making a dollar. I really don't. But when you're flip-flopping more than the flip-flops on your feet, on your opinion, that's where I have a little bit of an issue. And how we get to this topic, Walt, is years ago, before Hillary Clinton went on Jimmy Kimmel to tell us about, we don't call them UFOs anymore, we call them UAP, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon. The UFO term was what was leading the world to what we called UFO disclosure. But now all of the new researchers who hop on the bandwagon with anything that's brand new and exciting, as well as the old researchers who are trying to stay relevant, they are now talking about what is the difference between UFO disclosure and UAP transparency. Well, the idea of being transparent, Walt, is that you tell all. You know, it's like a good autobiography where you tell all. But we're not getting that from the U.S. government.
No. Or the Canadian government.
No, definitely not. We don't get anything from Dear Leader, right? But the whole point that I'm getting at, Walt, is I was reaching through one very, very accredited researcher over the years by the name of Richard Dolan, and he is repeating something that I have been saying for 3 years, and it's got me a little miffed, because for 3 years I have been saying that there is no such thing as UFO disclosure. Why? The U.S. government is never, ever going to give up its dandy little secrets of little green men and all these UFOs that are flying around. They're not going to do that. They're not going to tell us what they have. And that's why I've always said we are in a UFO area where we are in a confirmation for it. Now, what does confirmation mean? It means that they're confirming that these weird phenomena exist, but we're going to look into it. We're going to spend a couple billion dollars on it, but don't expect any answers, because we're going to act like we don't know about it. That way we don't have to give up any secrets that we have at Roswell or Wright-Patterson Air Force Base or Area 51. But the new researchers, like Dolan and many others today, are saying, well, UAP transparency, are they going to give us anything that's transparent? Which is the same thing as what I've been saying for 3 years. So it's a little bit of a bone to pick, but you know what? As a journalist goes, you know, you try and share stories, you try and help each other out. Not in the UFO world. It is dog eat dog out there.
The thing about UFOs, or you, whatever they are, is that we don't know, we'll never know if we in fact got all the information. We'll never know. If we
right.
get something that's a revelation that we think, oh my gosh, that's amazing, finally we know. No, we really don't know.
Well, here's the other thing about it. Okay, the idea that we think that the U.S. government is going to give us any secrets of what's going on, even if there's only a 5% chance, Walt, a 5% chance that they do not know what some of these objects are, we are still in the know of trying to figure out what is going on in this sky of ours. Because there's only one sky, sky is not plural. And the idea that we think, and the UFO world thinks, that the U.S. government's going to come up and the president of the United States, whoever that is, after the next election, is going to stand up at the podium at the White House and say, my fellow Americans, we are not alone. They've got another thing coming. It's not happening. And researchers now are starting to realize this. But the problem is they're taking credit for themselves to try and line their pockets from their followers, their viewers, their sponsors, and everything like that. Why not just give the message that's been sent around for the last 3 years? That's the problem.
I think also that the president of the United States is not the one who can reveal it. I think when the president of the United States gets to that office on the first or second day, the real government shows up in his office and says, listen, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, except with this information. And this information we are not going to release, you are not going to release, or you will suffer consequences if you do. And
absolutely.
I think that, and I also heard a theory that some presidents of the United States are chosen to be told the information, and some just, gee, we really can't trust that guy with the information. We're not going to give him the information. I think it's very situational, and I think it's out of the hands of the president of the United States. And I believe that, in fact, it is this information that gives them the endlessly difficult relationship with the spy agencies.
Well, you know what? I think you're absolutely right. Here's what we do know. We know that Truman knew because
he
was in office when Roswell hit. We know that Eisenhower knew.
We knew
that Kennedy may have known because he was very interested in the UFO subject. We know that Nixon knew because he took Jackie Gleason to take down to an Air Force base in Florida to see a UFO and alien bodies. We know Jimmy Carter had his own UFO experience. And he wanted to disclose. Ronald Reagan knew. George Bush Sr. knew because he was the head of the CIA. Junior never wants to admit anything, and he knows nothing. He likes playing dumb. Okay? We know that Clinton knew. We know that Obama knew. And we knew that Trump knew. But to get to your point about the way the government, when the president takes office, they give him a list, him or her a list of do or don'ts, all you have to look at is Donald Trump. He was going to release the JFK files.
Yes, he was.
He was going to say, we're going to get to this, and then they asked for a delay of 6 weeks, and when it came out, everything that we needed to know was redacted.
Right.
And somebody told him, you cannot release this. Now, I have been told personally by someone on the inside, there are three stories you cannot ask about. Number one is Kennedy. Number two is 9/11. And number three is you can talk UFOs, you can talk about aliens, but you can't talk about what we have. And that's what we see playing out.
The great Dave Scott with terrific information. I look forward to having you on Sterling every damn night. Dave Scott, what is your email and your website?
You can find me at dave@spacedoutradio.com. Our website, spacedoutradio.com. Talk to you tomorrow, Walt.
The great Dave Scott at 1112 from 1210 WPHT. Coming up in just seconds, You and I are going to talk to Aviva Vegas, who will give us information that we've always wanted to know about a nude sushi bar. Plus, when you were in school, you were threatened with your permanent record. How permanent is my permanent record? Answer in just seconds. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by dumb TikToks.
If you see me pouring water on my head while I'm on live, that means I can't stand my co-host. But if you see me just taking a sip out of the water bottle, that means I may have a slight crush on my co-host. But shh, don't tell them I'm live right now.
It's the people of Walnut on Sterling tonight.
Warrington Township has a Walmart. And this area of Pennsylvania is being just overrun by shoplifters. As the news reports say, shoplifting ain't new in Warrington Township, Pennsylvania. And here is a case in point at that very popular Walmart. A recent example of the retail theft, April 30th, 50-year-old Sean Thomas Baluk. You think he'd be old enough to realize stealing is not a good thing? He's from Warminster. He rolled into that Warrington Township Walmart. He just took that TV, walked out, got caught, charged retail theft and receiving stolen property, criminal complaint. Here's the deal. You got to be a guy of immense size to, slip that 75-inch TV under your shirt. Or perhaps this is a feller who wears a muumuu, with a special thing to hold a 75-inch TV in place. Walmart bills more money than any company in the entire world. I'm not just talking about Pennsylvania here. I'm talking about the entire world. Lots of people go to Walmart. Most people are awesome. But then you get the lollygaggers who figure out ways to walk out with a 75-inch TV. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at night.
School days, dear old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic.
Remember the threat? The threat was, this will go in your permanent record. This will go in your permanent record. And I wondered, even as a kid, I wondered, is there really a permanent record? And where does it go? Does the permanent record get thrown away when I leave this grade or this school? Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the public schools, the permanent record is kept for 50 years. 5-0. And you can request your permanent record. You can get it almost instantly if you call the school district that you went to and find out what's in there. Well, what is in there? What's in there are your real grades. The grades that used to go, especially in elementary school, on our report cards that went home to mommy and daddy, those weren't our real grades. The real grades were, in fact, A, B, C, D, and F. And those were in the permanent record in most school districts. And then there were no comments. I suspect if I was suspended or expelled, it would be in my permanent record. But nothing else was in there. Chewing gum in class, that wasn't in my permanent record. Flirting with the girl over there. Passing notes in class. If you pass more notes, it's going to go in your permanent record. No, none of that went in your permanent record. Attendance went in your permanent record. Because that was important to the school system. Because it depended how much state aid they were going to get. That's why they care about attendance, you know. It determines the amount of state aid a given school district gets. One of the biggest scams is all of these nonprofit organizations, all these do-good organizations to encourage students and parents to make sure that the kid actually goes to school. Attendance Plus, Attendance Now, Attendance Us. Never, it's really weird. With these attendance organizations and the push to actually go to school and be in school, never does it look at it the other way. Well, wait a minute. Why don't you want to go to school? It isn't just to play Roblox at home for many, many hours a day. What is the reason that the kid doesn't want to go to school? And it is with that question, talking to my 12-year-old, I said, well, why don't you want to go to school? And she wasn't going to go. She was like at that point where she was not going to go to school. And she was so miserable in the process of going to school. One time I caught myself and I thought, wait a minute, if this wasn't school, and every morning, way too early, I had to take my kid someplace that she absolutely hated, and there were no particular results of actually sending her to school, would I do that? No, I would not do that. I wouldn't do that. And I started to say, well, tell me exactly what the problem is here. And she started to tell me exactly what the problem was. And the problem was she hated music class. She hated it so much that she refused to go to school at all. And then I said, well, why? And I came to learn that she has a condition with her autism and her apraxia where it is physically difficult for her to deal with random loud noises. She can't filter it out the way you or I might be able to. For her to be in a room with other fifth graders who are trying to learn the flute or the clarinet was physically painful. It was physically assaulting her. And and I just didn't let it go with that. I made sure. We had the tests, and son of a gun, she has autism and she has apraxia. But all of that work came from her being able to tell us honestly why it is that she didn't want to go to school. She's not a bad kid, and she sure as heck ain't stupid. All right, then it got exciting. We said to her public school, we said, yeah, we need to get her out of music class. And why don't we use some of that time for more reading? Wouldn't it be great if she could have more one-on-one reading instruction? Because she thrives with one-on-one instruction. And she's in fifth grade, and oh, by the way, she reads at kindergarten level. Dad here thought, well, maybe it'd be a good idea if she had one-on-one reading. And you know what the response was? There were seven or eight people in the Zoom meeting for her IEP or Individual Educational Plan, her IEP, which is a state-driven, federally controlled plan to get a kid up to speed. And the assistant principal in her school, this jackass, said to me, well, getting her out of music class and getting more one-on-one reading, well, that can't be an individual decision. That has to be a team decision. And when she said team, I practically came through that Zoom call and throttled her. A team decision to get her out of music. It's not to get her out of math or reading or writing. It's music, an elective. Not every school system has music classes. This one did. Okay, very nice. It took me from October till March to get her out of music. And the minute we got her out of music, she was happy to go to school. How about that? Amazing. The bureaucracy and crap and BS that that public school system put up to get her out of music was inexcusable. So inexcusable that the end of the story is that she will be going to a private school in the fall. There will be a lot of state aid to send her to private school in the fall because, oh boy, it's mighty pricey, but mighty worth it. Because, gosh gee, I want my 12-year-old to read at a 12-year-old level, wouldn't you? And you know, our culture is such that somebody will admit to being an alcoholic before they'll admit that they can't read. The culture is such that people are truly ashamed to admit that they can't read it. I would never want my daughter to go through that. I'd never want her to go through that, and you wouldn't want yours to go through that either. All right, now listen. The permanent record, because now I got you interested. Did your high school principal ever threaten to put something in your permanent record? In reality, school records typically aren't permanent. Universities maintain educational records which contain both general information and specific academic records. At most colleges and universities, the privacy of these records is protected under the Federal Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA, which looks like herpes. FERPA does not cover campus law enforcement records. Information from educational records shared with campus law enforcement does maintain its protected status. Most college students qualify as eligible, which means you're over 18 attending a school beyond the high school level. Once eligible, you are granted FERPA right previously accorded to your parents. Whatever your parents could know before you were 18, now you are allowed to know. You also have the right to request your school correct records, which you believe are inaccurate or misleading. If the school decides not to amend the record that you think is wrong, then you have the right to a formal hearing. After the hearing, if the school still decides not to amend the record, you have the right to place a statement in your record detailing your view about the information. That's in college. Now, I also found out about your permanent record when you're in high school. A student's school file may contain grade reports, test scores, teacher comments, and discipline records. For the entire time the student has attended school, it is important that the information in a student's file be accurate. Can I inspect my student records? Yes. Yes, you can. You have the right to inspect all records, including grade reports, achievement test results, evaluations, individual educational programs, all of it. Only personal notes kept by an individual school employee for his or her own use are exempt. Now, let's see. While the law generally gives the school 45 days to present the file, most schools will show it to you right away immediately. You can get your permanent record. Now, I have no choice. I have to get my permanent record and see what it says. See what crimes I committed in high school that were committed to my permanent record. But yes, there is a permanent record, but it doesn't have things like you passed notes or you stuck gum to the bottom of your desk or that you flipped off the teacher. We have Aviva Vegas coming up in just seconds to share with us about the nude sushi bar and other information that I know will be extremely valuable to you, including some audio that she got on TikTok that she finds fascinating, and therefore I will find fascinating, and maybe even you, plus you. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, and let's talk about how Louisiana is insisting on posting the Ten Commandments in their public school classrooms. Sterling Every Night.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Mike Jarek.
He's ruined it for all us guys.
Oh, please.
He even had the rose petals. He's got this giant ring. He's down on one knee. He's got votive candles in the shape of a heart.
All right, 1135 at 1210 WPHT in the great city of Philadelphia. Is it hot enough for you? Oh, boy. Philly declares heat emergency. The emergency will begin at 8 a.m. Thursday and end at midnight on Saturday, but the emergency could be extended depending on the forecast. High temperatures are expected to continue through the weekend. According to the National Weather Service, the heat index values in our area are expected to range from 95 to 100 degrees from Wednesday evening through 6 a.m. Saturday, with the hottest expected to be Friday. From Saturday morning through Sunday evening, dangerously hot. Heat index values could range from 100 to 105. Right now, it is a very pleasant 70 in Center City. Aviva Vegas, the fetish queen in Las Vegas. Welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, thanks for having me, Walter.
Always an honor, a pleasure. I was very excited when you told me about something from TikTok that you want to reveal. I'll let you do that in just seconds. at your own pace, in your own time, but I'm intrigued by the notion of a naked sushi restaurant.
Yes, there is a naked sushi restaurant in Las Vegas, and this is not something that's really new. It's been something that's been going on for a while, and I have been thinking about sushi because yesterday was national, it was International Sushi Day. And
Who knew? I didn't know that.
I love the national days. I love the international days. And so this fetish that I want to talk about tonight, it involves eating the sushi off of naked people, usually naked women. And I have a little bit of history about it. It is called Neotaimori.
Neotaimori, the practice of eating sushi or sashimi off an unclad woman's body, can be traced back to the Edo period, where men would drink sake from a sex worker's pubic region in establishments across red light districts, also known as yukaku. This practice is said to have evolved in the 1960s to be part of the onsen industry in the Ishikawa province as an advertising technique to gain more tourism, but died down in the 1980s as onsen owners wanted to be seen in a more respectable life.
So, yeah, this has been going on for a while, and the place that I found here in Las Vegas, Naked Sushi, you can get the girls to come to your private event. It's not really like a restaurant where you go into and all of the naked women will be there. You can just eat sushi off of them. It's more like you call them out and they will come to your event, or to your party, or to your suite, and you can have the girls come right in, and you can eat the sushi right off of them. And, Walt, this is not just in Las Vegas. There are other places that have naked sushi sort of call girls, I guess you could call it, or call boys, depending on your mood.
Nothing ordinary about one Panagoda restaurant, especially when it comes to the menu. Bistro, sushi, and Ramtini Bar serve everything from elk to pot pie. Elk's unusual, right? But it's the naked sushi that has people talking. A model lies on the table that's covered in leaves, petals, and body paint as people eat sushi right off her body. And the owner says it's a little bit of Las Vegas on Florida's West Coast.
We wanted to let everyone know that, yes, we were edgy, but we were respectful.
I thought it was really kind of cute because it reminded me of the Sex and the City movie.
Yeah, well, the sushi never actually touches the model's body. It's placed in pieces of seaweed that rest on her skin in very strategic places, no doubt.
Yeah.
So it sounds really fun. I've never seen one of these sushi girls or sushi gals before, sushi guys. But if I had a party sometime, it might be really fun to have one at a party. What do you think?
I think it's interesting, it's fascinating, but one of the things about it is absolutely not prostitution. There is no sex. It is just fish on the girl. And,
exactly.
You know, so it's, there's nothing illegal about it. It's just modeling. It's or what's the word? What's that? Installation art. It's installation art. That's what it is.
Yeah.
They've installed a girl or a guy. Did they ever do it with guys? Do you know about guys doing this? Was that what
yes.
that gay guy was talking about?
Well, there are definitely some men who model and act as a platter. They act as a server, like a table, just for the food to go on. And with this fetish, Walter, there are people who like to eat off of the model, the art installation, and then these models, whether it's a girl or a boy or whatever they identify as, they really, really enjoy it. And I did find something from this one woman who talks a little bit about being a naked sushi model and what she likes about it.
The sensation when people grab the food off my body is very satisfying because it offers a very unique feeling that not many people get to experience. I have experience as a human platter for about a year. I got involved just through networking with friends. It's part of my main hustle. As a performer, it's always a different gig each night. I definitely get aroused. My senses are heightened when people are around me and eating off of me. I never know where they're going to grab. Nothing is off of it. There is a consent talk at the door when people come in. So if anyone's going to do anything to me, they almost always ask. I haven't been in the situation where I've felt violated in any way. My favorite part is the surrender, allowing everything to happen and not having to worry about what's going on, not having to check my phone or worry about, like, what's happening, because I literally am just here to serve. I definitely feel empowered. I feel like a goddess.
I wonder what they get paid.
Well, I did poke around on the website for the
Don't say
naked
that.
Sushi.
Don't say poke around. Don't say poke around. So I wonder how much they get paid.
Probably when I looked at this place that said they're looking for sushi models, naked models, it said they can make anywhere from like $400 an hour. So you can make some pretty good money just sitting very still and having people eat sushi off of your body or any other food. It doesn't have to be sushi, but this big kink really is all about sushi, and it sounds really refreshing to me, honestly, Walt. On these hot summer days, I might enjoy some sushi on my body, nice and cold and refreshing.
Now, you had something else exciting that you found on TikTok you want to share.
Yes, I wanted to talk to you, my Midnight Misfits, about this Hoctua girl that is blowing up right now. She's super viral right now. This has been going off on the internet the last couple days, and it came from, if you guys are seeing Hoctua stuff online everywhere right now, it comes from this video.
What's one move in bed that makes a man go crazy every time?
Oh, you gotta give him that Hoctua and set all that thing.
So,
what?
Yes, I'll play it again for you here, Walter.
Yes.
What's one move in bed that makes a man go crazy every time?
Oh, you gotta give him that Hoctua and set all that thing.
So he says, what's the one move in bed that really will get a man going? And she says, you got to give him the Hoctua, which she's talking about oral sex, Walter.
Wow. So that video's blowing up.
Yes, it is the like number one video going viral on the internet right now. You'll see all kinds of memes with this Hoctua right now. That's Hoc like the bird.
Well, how do I search it? How do I search it?
You guys can look it up on TikTok, Instagram, just on Google. Just say Hoctua girl, and you can see her. It's a street interview. It comes from the Tim and Dee TV show, and they interview people on the streets. And she has blown up. Everybody wants to know all about this Hoctua girl. What is she like? What's her real name? Everybody's really curious because they just love her so much.
Well, Viva Vegas, I'm counting on you to keep track of this girl and to give us updates constantly. Will you do that?
Of course. I'll keep you posted.
Thank you very much for the Hoctua update and the sushi on the girl or boy update. And thank you for being our friend. And thank you for being on Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night. Inspired by Judge Jeanine Pirro.
All right, here we are. It's Wednesday in the studio. All day I thought it was Thursday. What a joy. I have not just today, but Thursday and Friday.
Sterling every night. Study books, lusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Blazing Justice. I rejoined him at one side of the table to survey our clutter. Almost every square inch of the surface was covered. I set aside the police reports we're using, Collins said. Next up is the medical examiner's report. I rummaged through the stack where I thought I'd last seen the document. Here, I said, passing the packet over. No, not this one. There's a highlighted copy somewhere. Oh, right. I think it's in the pile we were going through earlier. I reached over to the other side of the table, brushing across the front of Colin's body. He shifted to let me pass, which only resulted in trapping me between him and the heavy furniture. Startled by the realization of his close proximity and the warmth pressing against me, I froze in place. His hand rested on my waist. My heart raced, and I steadied myself with one palm on the table. The scorching imprint of his touch felt like it was going to burn a hole through my blouse. Is this really happening? I dared to swivel my head to the side. Steel gray eyes met my gaze, hunger simmering within them. He moved closer, and my breath caught in my throat. Soft lips captured my mouth in a tender kiss. Surprised, I dropped the papers I'd been holding. His grip on me tightened as the gentle gesture became a more forceful exploration. I let his tongue probe into mine, and a rush of heat flooded through me. When I tried to turn toward him, I found I still couldn't move. He pulled his mouth away, but didn't step back to allow me to escape his grasp. Though unable to deny the exhilarating thrill of our illicit kiss, I was anxious about the possible consequences. Are you sure we... I don't know if... We can't... I whispered, glancing away. Colin steered my face back with a finger on my chin. Tell me to stop, Celeste, and I will. His deep voice rumbled through his chest, reverberating against my skin. Just to know how long I've been dreaming about touching you like this. I tried to think through the tempest churning through my mind and body. My heightened senses pulled me deeper into the lusty storm. His confession echoed in my ears, his musky cologne wafted toward my nose, and the remnants of our kiss lingered on my tongue. The potential dangers lost out to my desires. I needed more. I circled my hand around the back of his head and drew his lips closer to mine. His tongue plunged inside my mouth, and his arms enveloped me from behind. I wanted to touch him, return his embrace. He still had me pinned against the table. His power over me was intoxicating, and I felt a tremble in my knees. Colin abandoned my mouth to kiss a trail to my neck. With one hand, he swept aside my hair and brought his lips to my earlobe. "You really are an exquisite woman," he murmured. Steamy breath feathered over my delicate nerves, and I shuddered. Since the day you walked into this office, all eyes have been upon you. As he spoke, his hands roamed up and down my sides, from the coarse fabric of my skirt to the cream-colored silk of my blouse. His firm caresses across my torso both lulled me into a state of tranquility and further kindled my arousal. "I don't believe you," I said, leaning my head back against his shoulder. "You're the one everybody always talks about around here." His lips skated over the outer ridge of my ear, and he chuckled. "I won't lie. I've heard the gossip and the giggling," he said. One thumb grazed the underside of my chest, while the fingers of his other hand traced a line along my waistband. "But I only care about what you think." The hem of my blouse slid out of the top of my skirt. Anticipation coiled in my muscles, and I struggled for air. "Me?" I managed to squeak out. "Mm-hmm." His hands slipped beneath my blouse, skin meeting heated skin. "How do you feel about me?" He squirmed underneath his provocative touch. lascivious thoughts consumed me. I've been thinking about you, too. Just thinking about me? He prodded. I should have known there was no escaping this line of questioning. I want you. That wicked laugh resonated in my ear again. Good. Colin's palms skimmed over my stomach and rose to my chest. He kneaded my flesh through the lacy material and resumed kissing my neck. Brilliant mind and killer body, he said, as his hands manipulated me. As soon as I saw you, I knew I had to have you. And you know I am a man who hates to lose. Oh, I think I need to stop here for tonight. But you know there's always more. That was an excerpt from my book, Blazing Justice, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar. It's done.